At first glance, Parshas Mishpatim sounds like a script out of a law textbook, laying the groundwork for a legal profession. Torts, monetary compensation for damages, theft, negligence, lost objects, personal damage, property damage, assault, and so on. However, one pasuk is relevant for another profession as well, that of the doctor. We're told, V'chi rivun anashim v'ika ish es re'ehu be'even ove egrof v'lo yamus v'nafal mishkav im yakum v'salech b'chutz amishanto v'nika makeh rak shivto yitein v'rapo yirape. If two Jews are quarreling and one hits the other and injures him, although not fatally, then he must pay for the damages. The rabbis tell us that there are five aspects of damages that one must potentially pay in compensation. The Gemara explains at length what's incorporated within each more detail. The following are just overly simplified translations, more literal translated. Nezek, there's physical damage. Tsar, pain. Sheves, time spent in bed rather than working. And Boshes, embarrassment. The fifth, mentioned at the end of our above pasuk, is ripoy, or the doctor bills. On this, the Gemara in Bava Kamma says, "V'rapo yirape, mikan shenitan reshus lerofe lerapos." From here, we learn that doctors were given permission to heal people. Initially, we might have thought if a person gets sick, they should rely solely on God to heal them rather than putting their faith in mortals, i.e. doctors. But this teaches us that doctors are permitted to practice medicine to help heal people. You may have noticed the way the permission was worded, the stress was on the doctor. Permission was given to the doctor to heal people. The Vilna Gaon asked, why was it said in this formulation? Why not say, from here we see permission was given to the chole, to the sick person, to seek treatment? In the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Cairo codifies the above law as follows. Natna hatorah rishus lerofei lerapos, u'mitzvahi, u'bichlal pikuach nefeshu. V'im monea atzmo harezo shofech damim, va'afilu yeshlomi shirpenu. The Torah gave permission to the doctor to heal people, and it's a mitzvah, and it's included within pikuach nefesh, within the command to save a life. And if the doctor withholds treatment, it's as if they spilled the sick person's blood. And even if there's another doctor there who could treat instead of you. And this is really what I want to focus on here, the last part. Shalomin hakol, adam zochel hisrapos. Because a person is not able to be treated successfully by everyone. In other words, not all doctors are equal. Some have specialized training in certain areas. Every person's life and medical experiences help formulate a diagnosis a little differently. And maybe that'll be the difference between life and death for this patient. And therefore, the doctor has an obligation to treat and not absolve themselves, even if there's another doctor available. And this makes sense. How many times have we gone for a second or third medical opinion because each doctor has a different medical approach how to treat the situation? But going back to that statement, Shelo min hakol, adam zocha lisrapos, it reminded me of another situation where we find almost the exact same language employed. The Gemara in Makos tells us that if a Talmud accidentally kills and must escape to the Ir Miklat, this to the city of refuge, then his Rebbe must also go with him to continue teaching him Torah, assuming that the Rebbe doesn't have other students who would miss him. The Ritva questions this. Why should his teacher need to go just to teach him Torah? Were there no other yeshivas or rabbis in the Ir Miklat with whom this exiled student could learn Torah? The Ritva explains, Shelo min hakol adam zochel lilmod. A person is not successfully able to learn from every person who teaches him. Simply put, it would seem that this is referring to the derech halimud, to the teacher's method or the focus of study, and that the student is drawn to a certain one that only this rabbi can provide. For example, does he teach bi'iyun, analyzing in depth, or more superficially? Does he focus on the literal text, or on the commentators, referred to colloquially as on the daf or off the daf? Does he teach Tanakh or Gemara, Musar or Halacha? However, perhaps it's not the Torah itself which is what draws a student to the teacher. Rather, what the statement really means is that it's the teacher's personality, how he teaches, his demeanor, that enables the student to thrive in his learning more so than with another local Ir Miklat rabbi. In the Heath brothers' book, The Power of Moments, they share the following quote from a 2012 New England Journal of Medicine article. Clinicians, in turn, need to relinquish their role as the single paternalistic authority and train to become more effective coaches or partners, learning, in other words, how to ask, what matters to you, as well as what's the matter? Jen Rogers, a pediatric nurse in Scotland, heard about this and brought the concept back to her hospital, giving construction paper and markers to the children in her ward, encouraging them to draw on a what matters to me page. Shortly after this, a 7-year-old autistic girl, Kendra, entered the hospital for surgery. She'd never spoken a word, and her father accompanied her to communicate with the medical staff on her behalf. Unfortunately, her father had a sudden cardiac arrest, and Kendra was left alone. She was unable to speak for herself, and she was really scared. But because she'd filled out this What Matters to Me sheet, the nurses knew her background and were able to care accordingly. Imagine if they didn't know. The uncommunicativeness and her other bugaboos would have been interpreted as non-cooperative and aggressive. But instead, they were able to work with her, and the patient-caregiver relationship blossomed until her father was able to return. When Rav Yosef Kairu wrote, Shalom min hakol, Adam zocha lisrapos, perhaps it wasn't only a factor of which doctor had learned more or knew more medicine. It could even have been that both doctors would prescribe the exact same procedure or treatment plan. So where does the difference lie? In how they treat the patient, their demeanor or bedside manner. Is the patient another clipboard and checkbox to mark off, or an ill human being suffering in pain? Does the doctor only want to know what's the matter, or want to connect with the patient and know what matters to them? Maybe that connection is what Rav Yosef Kairu meant. Just like the student in exile, it's not what you're being taught or how it's being taught, but rather how is the teacher or doctor in relating to the student, which enables their growth. This can also answer our original question. Why was the permission for medical intervention of the sick given with a stress towards the doctor rather than the patient? Because a doctor's job of treating the sick is not just a profession, but a responsibility, requiring a reminder of the austere responsibility placed upon his or her shoulders, all implicit within the words reshus, permission is given, but only to those worthy of the task. And to this day, this is one of the declarations doctors make in the standard Hippocratic Oath. Quote, I will remember that there is art to medicine as well as science, and that warmth, sympathy, and understanding may outweigh the surgeon's knife or the chemist's drug. Not all of us are doctors or even lawyers, but we all have the ability to help heal others. The way we relate to others can be transactional, a cold and crude imparting of information, or it can be with warmth and care and understanding, developing the relationship, asking not what's the matter, but rather what matters to you. For example, a child's scraped knee may only require simple band-aid treatment, but engaging with empathy may elicit from them that more than the scrape, it's their ego that was bruised, and showing that you truly care about them can be the best band-aid there is. So thank you, doctors, and all those in the healthcare profession for the holy work you do. Keep up your sacred task as messengers of Hashem, healing those in need. And remember, what matters most is what matters to the patient, who is a fellow human being. Shabbat Shalom.